Amen. And one of the things that we want to put our faith and trust in is he who sits above and look low. He can see all the things that you and I can't see, which is why he tells us not to worry if we trust him, since he already knows what's ahead. He already knows what's going to happen. If we have our trust in him, then we don't have to worry about things. If we trust him, that means we will submit to him and obey him, and God will lead us through these trying times that we are living in. This world, as we sing and as the Bible tells us, is not our home. We're just passing through. You know we are passing through because you see people dying all the time. And when they die, just know it's not over. They've gone someplace. That soul never dies. It goes someplace. And your soul will go either in the place of rest or in the place of torment and await there until the judgment. It's important for folk to know that, though people don't want to really hear that. But that is just like death. It's inevitable. It's not a matter of whether it's going to happen. It's just when. Why? Because the Bible does tell us so. And so we want to make sure that we, as children of God, understand what our plight is, understand what this is all about. We are all children of God by faith. Amen. That's my topic for tonight. Children of God by faith. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And meet me at verse 22. Galatians 3:22. While you're turning there, I just want to go ahead and say, hopefully, Lord willing, by next Sunday, we will probably be taking the can that we've had out front. And remember when we first put the can out there, we just ask you that each Sunday that you come, upon leaving or coming in, if you have any extra change, drop the change in. That was that's going to go to help support the African mission. This is the mission that we have already purchased two vans for. They're using those vans. It's really made a big difference in that village over there in Africa. And the monies that we are taking up here, that too will be sent over to them. Hopefully, Lord willing, as I said, next Sunday, after next Sunday, we'll probably take it down. The 6th of October. After the 6th of October, we'll take it down. And then the 13th or the 12th, when we leave to go to Arizona, we will be taking the whole amount over to Arizona. I'll have Brother Scott let you all know after we tally it all up what the amount of money that we have taken up for that particular mission is. And then, of course, the following, like I said, the following Saturday, we will be taking it down and presenting it to one of the guys, actually Brother Moses, the young man that came and did the presentation for us. We'll present it to him, and then he will forward it over to that mission, okay? So, again, please, if you have spare change on your way out, drop it in. Every little bit helps. We're hearing nothing but good things. As a matter of fact, I got an email the other day saying that they have now been able to purchase about 6 laptop computers for the mission. And so they're trying to slowly get the folk, you know, literate enough to where they can start working with computers. And that's going to be a blessing in and of itself once that happens. And so any other updates I get from what's going on over there, I'll be sure to let you know. And I intend to have Brother Moses give us an update probably in January, Lord willing. Okay. So that's the African mission in Nigeria. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We talked this morning about how there are some, and as I told you, it was listed in the Chronicle, in the paper, there's an article that says there were some folk who have lost faith in the church, but they haven't lost faith in salvation. And we tried to show this morning that you can't separate the two. Man can do anything he wants, but to his own detriment. What God has done, the Bible says, nothing can be added to it, nothing can be taken from it. You have to be one to believe that in order to keep yourself from doing that. It's easy for us to add something to or leave something out when God has given us everything that we need. And so we want to make sure that you understand you can't lose faith in, and when it says the church, you are the church. We are the church. We shouldn't be losing faith in ourselves. If anything, we should be drawing ourselves closer to God so that we can stay put. Satan is the one that wants to draw you away, and he'll use anything he can. He knows our weaknesses. Yes, he does. He knows, that, matter of fact, when you read the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 where it says the devil walk around as a roaring lion, what does it say? He's looking to see who can he devour. He can't just devour anybody. So he knows, it's just like when you watch those geographical programs and they show you the lion or the tiger or whatever it is that's getting ready to eat something. It shows you how they sneak around and they look, and it can be a whole herd of them. You might think, boy, that's going to be a lot of feasting there. Well, no, it's not. He can't get them all. He know he can't. So he looks for the one that seems to be the weakest. He looked for the one that's always lagging behind. He looked for the one that looked like it might be crippled in any way. Why? Because he knows that that is something that's to his advantage. And we can't let Satan cripple us. We can't let Satan, let's say, knock us down and we stay down with the old woe is me. No, understand. Just like when God tested Job, he let Satan, I should say, test Job. Why? Because Job told the Lord, says, if you stop taking care of him, if you take away all of his stuff, he'll curse you to your face. And God told Satan, no, you don't know my servant Job. I know him. The Bible even tells us Job was a man of integrity. Job himself said, though he slay me, yet I will not leave him. You and I got to get to that kind of relationship with the Lord, to the point to where if you end up losing everybody or everything in your life, you won't lose him. You won't leave him. That's what God wants. He wants to know that he is the most important person in your life first, and if you keep him in his rightful place, he can keep everybody and everything else in place for you. Brothers and sisters, that's the kind of faith and behavior that we have to portray before our God. Look at Galatians 3. We're going to start at verse 22. I was going to just do 26 down, but let's look at verse 22 of Galatians. Paul writing to the church at Galatia here, he says, but the scripture has concluded that all under sin. Again, there's another verse that lets you know nobody's perfect. Nobody is without sin. Everybody's got sin. So nobody's got anybody, any business rather casting stones at other people. He says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to who? Them that believe. We were talking about that this morning. Your faith. Your faith is very important to your salvation. This promise is a promise that God has given us by faith, and he's given it to them that believe. Verse 23 gives us a little background history. It says, but before faith came, everybody see that? Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Now, this is not you and I. This is, remember, when Jesus was on earth himself, the old law was in effect. The old law wasn't taken out of the way until Christ died on the cross. Paul is trying to help those Jews understand the difference now between being under the old law and being under Christ's law. And it's kind of sad, but you still got folk today who act like, I have to believe now that they act like, especially those that's been in our assembly. They just act like they don't know the difference. You know the difference because we've shown you the difference in Scripture. People run to the Old Testament when they want to shake it up, when they want to have musical instruments and stuff. That's what they go to the Old Testament for. The Old Testament is not for us. It's for our learning. The New Testament that Christ left behind is for you and I to obey. So Paul says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, how? By faith. So again, your faith, brothers and sisters, if your faith is not what it needs to be, your faith could end up causing you to miss heaven. He says in verse number 25, but after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Everybody see that? See, that's right there in your Bible. Before faith, before Christ came, we were under the law. They had to obey those commandments that was written. After Christ came, now you have a different set of commandments to obey, and that is the new law, the New Testament. That's what you and I are going to be judged by in the day of judgment. And we need to know that. And we need to understand that only by faith. Faith, meaning I wasn't there. I didn't see Christ be crucified. I didn't see him buried. I didn't see him resurrected again on the third day. But my faith, I have to, because I've read it in God's word, I have to have enough faith to believe it just like I was there. And because I believe it, it also lets me know now these are some things that all to do because he did that for me. It's easy to get the attitude, well, I wasn't even around then. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. But you're around now. And if you believe, if your faith allows you to believe that this is all going to come to an end, then when it ends, where do you want to be? You have to have faith to believe that there's a heaven. Why? Because you can't go check it out and then come back. Some folk even lie about that, don't they? Yeah. You can't go check hell out and then come back. You got to have enough faith to know that it's there and make your decision now whether you want to go there or not. This is not a game that we're in. This is serious business. So Paul goes on to share this with them, beginning about verse number 26. For we are all children of God, how? Again, see that? By faith in who? In Christ Jesus. Didn't God say, didn't the Bible tell us in the book of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish? That's where your faith should be, is in Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. God promised Abraham and his seed. God promised Abraham that he would give his seed the land of Canaan. Those that would obey him. God did that, didn't he? But when Christ came, that promise went from a land to being with him. Christ said when he was teaching his disciples, he says, I go back to my Father. I go back, and when I go back, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. So where is Christ? Hello? How do you know that? By faith. Hello? And if you have faith enough to know that he is in heaven and he says he prepared a place there for you and you want to be there, then your faith is going to have to get you there. And your faith will get you there through your obedience to Christ Jesus. My message tonight is a we and us message. Is that all right? There's going to be a lot of we and us in this. And I'm going to get through it rather quickly here, so bear with me. Our preaching and our teaching and our living should be to edify one another, to magnify Jesus Christ, and to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Before we became children of God, someone magnified Christ before us, and we were baptized into Christ. we put on Christ, meaning we were to become the become what people should see when they see us, and that is Christ. This means that we began to look like Christ, talk like Christ, trust God like Christ. All of our learning and growing in scriptures were to produce a Christ-like image before the world. We are supposed to be trying to be like the one who gave his life for us, which means you need to know something about Christ. And you don't want to wait till me or someone else tell you about Christ. Why don't you get in his word and learn about him for yourself? Draw yourself closer to him from the things that you're learning that he's done for you. Why? Because when you stand before God on the day of judgment, it's going to be you and God. It ain't going to be nobody else. We all got to stand before God for ourselves, the Bible says. I guess the question is, do you have enough faith to believe that? And when you stand before him, the Bible tells us that we're going to be judged out of the things which are written in this book. So, if you read where being in Christ required you to do certain things and you didn't do them, how are you going to answer that? You see what I mean? Again, your faith is the end of your salvation. Your faith will determine whether you are saved or whether you're going to be lost. And we want to make sure that we are understanding what faith is and what it does. As we grow in Scripture and begin to look more like Christ before the world, that's what magnifying Christ would do, and that's what it looks like. Then we are to, after we magnify Christ, learn about him and grow in Christ, live the way Christ has said for us to live, then we are to edify and encourage one another. The Bible says we are to edify, encourage, and exalt one another in love, mainly meaning that we become very concerned about one another's souls. Church, I have to ask you tonight, are you really? God says that we must be. So I can just ask you outright, are you really concerned about the souls of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because if you're not, you need to understand, God is not happy with that attitude, that behavior. And I don't know what the punishment going to be for you. I know what every punishment at judgment is going to be. That's easy. At judgment, if you're being punished at judgment, that just means you just won't be with the Lord. And that's bad. That's bad forever. But what is the punishment that God is going to heap on those who could care less about what happens to their brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, we have scripture that shows us God's mercy. In one of the lessons that was given in being delivered unto Satan, you know, we talked about it I got to talk about it in all of my classes. The one where God had told Moses, in other words, Moses knew what the law was concerning the firstborn child. Matter of fact, not just the firstborn, but every male child. Moses knew what that law was. That law was that every male child, every male in your household had to be circumcised. Right? Now, this is Moses. Moses knew that to be God's law. But we find if you read that text that was given to us for an example, you find that Moses had a son, his son Gershom, and Moses had not circumcised his son. You know why Moses didn't circumcise his son? Hello? His wife didn't want it done. Maybe y'all don't know. Let me tell you the story. His wife had a problem with that. Remember, God is talking to Moses. Just like in the garden, God was talking to Adam. It was Adam's responsibility to make sure that Eve knew what God wanted. Instead, Adam listened to Eve, and look at what happened. They got kicked out of the garden. You remember that story, right? Well, guess what? If you had studied this lesson that was in your student handout, you would see that that Moses had left Jethro's house God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh now and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. If he didn't let his people go, he was going to kill Pharaoh's firstborn son. Y'all remember that? Well, as he left Jethro's house, heading back to Egypt with his family, the Bible says God met him in the way and sought to kill him. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, when I read that, it ran chills down my spine, because what that was showing me was that Moses is about to be killed and he don't even know it. But what he's about to be killed for, he know. He would know if before God struck him dead, if he says, I'm getting ready to take you out, I bet you he'll know why. But the Bible says, right after it says, and God met him in the desert and sought to kill him, the very next verse says, then Zipporah took a knife and circumcised her son and threw the flesh at Moses' feet. And she was talking to Moses about, you are a bloody husband to me. You can tell that woman had attitude. She was mad. She was upset. But had she not done that, Moses would have been killed. Why? What's the bottom line? Obey God if you want to be saved. Obey God and you don't have to worry about death. See, Moses was going along happy, not even giving it a second thought, probably. But it inferred to me that the reason he didn't do it is because Zipporah didn't want it done. So who are you following? Who are you listening to? Who are you obeying? All the way through scriptures, we can see not only just where men have listened to women, but women have listened to men over what God has said, and God will take out a whole nation. But we also saw in that too God's mercy. Look at how long God allowed Moses to go without circumcising his son. The law said that they were to be circumcised when? On the eighth day. So God showed him some mercy right there. Probably trying to figure out, well, okay, when is he going to get it? It's day 9 now. Day 10. I don't think he's getting it. And then when the Bible says the Lord was getting ready to kill him, until Zipporah did what God had commanded to be done. Then God, and then the very next verse says, then God left them alone. If that don't scare you, if that don't raise the hair on, I don't know what will. And I do know why it won't, because we don't take God's word serious. I think we still caught up on looking at the Bible as just stories. These are not stories. These are accounts of what happened between God and his people and the people that obeyed him versus the one that didn't obey him. That's what we ought to be drawing from that. Because right now, you and I could be sitting up here right now in full disobedience to God, and he could be ready to wipe us out and we'll never know it. So if you wipe us out and he comes to say, he lets you know, well, you know, the reason y'all got wiped out because nobody was trying to bring anybody to Christ. Nobody was trying to save souls. And that's what I got you down there for. What then? You know what would be our worst torture besides being burning in hell? Y'all want me to tell you? Knowing what you should have done and could have done and didn't. That's going to eat you like a canker. To know to do good, the Bible says, and do it not, the Bible says, to him it is sin. So here's the question. We're talking about faith tonight. If we are God's children by faith, we got to have enough faith to understand that we got to obey what God has said. None of us get a pass in doing something that God done said we got to be doing. We can give ourselves a pass, but is God pleased? We can be thankful to God for his mercy. We're only here because of his love and his mercy. We are told in Scripture to comfort and edify one another, because God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be alive or dead, We should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible says, God has not appointed us to wrath, us, children of God. But even though that's not what he wants for us, that's probably what a lot of folk will get. Why? Because they refuse to obey God and God's Son. There are many other passages given to us to comfort, to edify, encourage, and exhort one another with. Yet many of us still use the lingo of the world to try to accomplish this command. We'll use worldly talk to try to comfort somebody or soothe somebody's ills as opposed to using God's word. When all throughout scripture he tells us, comfort one another with these words, with God's words. We're children of God by faith. When we do things, God has commanded us, when we do things that God has commanded us to do the way he told us to do it, then in Romans 8, 28, the Bible says, all things work together to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things work together. So things that we don't understand, things that we just can't seem to figure out, we leave that stuff to the Lord. Do what you know he said for you to do and watch how he show you his blessing, his love, and his mercy. We got too many people that's walking away from the Lord, and a lot of them say they're doing it because that's what everybody else is doing. That's not a good reason. Remember, everybody else may not want to be saved. But to anyone that wants to be saved, you don't have to be lost if you want to be saved. You do have to obey what God has said. When we do the things that God told us to do, the way he told us to do it, then God is glorified. We must remember that Matthew 5:13, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Know what that means, church. Yes, we're in the world, but when he says we are not of the world, what he's trying to tell us is we don't go by the world standards and everything first. First, we listen to what God says, because the world can put you in a position to cause you to disobey God. I gave an example to the class little few minutes we had back there, trying to show how you know, if we're not careful, if we're not focused on God, remember, we're dealing with an adversary that's very, very smart, adversary called Satan. I want you to think about this. It may have happened to you, and if it has, you know, I would say you're still all right because you're still alive. So you got a chance to fix it. You heard some folk up here talking about how when they realized that they had done something wrong, they made some phone calls to try to get it right. That's what God wants to see in his people. He wants to see that once you know that you've done something wrong, don't just hang on to it and think it's going to go away. No, you get that right with God. But imagine this. You're on your job, and there's a promotion, a slot open that's going to pay a whole lot more money. And you all about the money. And so you go in to interview for the job. Now, you're a child of God. Don't you know you go in, you interview for the job, and because the world don't have a problem with folk lying on their resume. That's just the kind of situation you're in. It's just, you know, you try to do what you can to get by and get over. So they lie on their resume, and seem like when they do, they get the job. You want the job so bad. Remember, you're a child of God. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that if you lie on your resume, God is happy? Do you believe that just because you get the job by lying on your resume, that's a blessing from God? You see how Satan can get us wrapped up and have us thinking, and we want to give God credit, and God is looking at us like, no, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Your first wrong step was that you lied. It was nothing wrong with wanting a job, but you let yourself get the job based on the merit and your obedience, if you will, to first of all God and then to man's law. But I think there's a whole lot of people who's living on borrowed time, as old folk used to say. You've done a whole lot of things to get in certain positions, and you've done them wrongly, and God is still trying. And oh, by the way, it's bothering you. You ain't really that happy. I mean, you're glad you got the job, but you're always looking over your shoulder. That's not the way God wants his people to live. Remember, the Bible says, let the Lord exalt you. If God exalts you, man can't bring you down, though they may try. But if you exalt yourself, your fall is coming. And if you don't want that to happen, understand, you are a child of God by faith. You got to have enough faith in the fact that if you do what God says, Scripture tells us that God will give you what you want. Hello? Yeah. But you got to give him first. You got to trust him first and watch him take care of you. But, you know, when we don't do it, if we feel like we got to do it ourselves, if we feel like we're the ones that are taking care of ourselves, then we open ourselves up to doing whatever we can to get by and figure God all to understand. Well, as children of God, that is not how God wants things done. We must not let the world influence us, but we must dominate and influence the world. Jesus says that we are his friends. Remember, I told you this morning, that's why we are able to sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Brother Neil, I'd like for us to sing that one Sunday. Kind of put that in your list, Brother Coleman. You know, one Sunday, let's just throw that in there. What a friend we have in Jesus. This is a problem for some of us. We call Jesus our friend. But do he look at us as being his friend? How do you treat your friends? When your friend calls up and needs something, are you there for him? If your friends ask you to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, do you go ahead and do it? How much influence do your friends have on you? Versus how much influence do your friend Jesus, as you call him, have on you? See, we have to make sure we don't let Satan make suckers out of us, have us saying one thing and doing something totally different. As children of God, we should know better. Paul says, but thank God that we were once servants of sin. Have you accepted that yet? Seriously, church, tonight, y'all can ask me. We talk back and forth, then I can shut up. I can know I'm getting through. Have you thought about that? That you were once servants of sin, all of us. The Bible says, but now that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Romans 6, 17 through 18. That's the doctrine that says we walk by faith and not by sight. We are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you are saved by grace. You know, there's more in that verse, isn't it? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Yet folk want to try to say, no, you're saved by grace alone, grace and nothing else. That's the devil's lie. Yes, it was God's grace that saved us, but it's through our faith in Christ that we are saved. And we know what grace is. You know, Titus tells us that for grace has appeared unto all men, teaching. There's some teaching that's done with grace. I believe in your Old Testament reading when you read about Noah. The Bible starts out by saying Noah found grace in the eyes of God, doesn't it? Yes. Y'all act like y'all don't know it. It does. That's what it says. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, but then that grace didn't save Noah by itself. That grace was followed with some instructions for what Noah needed to do in order to be saved. That grace is what taught him how to build an ark. That's Old Testament teaching. New Testament teaching tells us that the grace that has appeared unto all men, and right following that it says teaching. There's some teaching that needs to be done and obeyed if you want to be saved. That's the kind of information that children of God must have. Peter says, seeing that you have purified your souls by obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Brethren here is, again, brothers and sisters in Christ. Church, what I'm trying to tell you, it don't do no good to sit up and tell yourself you love everybody knowing you don't. You can say you love everybody, but what is showing in your action, your behaviors? That's what God is looking at. God is not looking for the lip service. God is looking for action. And as children of God, we should always be in action for ourselves as well as for those that the Lord allows to come in contact with. He says, see that you love one another. Now, notice how to start by saying, seeing that you have purified your soul. If you haven't purified your souls, guess what? You can't love one another. It's going to speak for itself. It's going to shake out just the way God said it. If you have purified your souls and obeyed the truth, then you'll do what God says. But if you haven't purified your soul, there's a real good chance you definitely hadn't obeyed the truth, so you can't do what God says. You can make yourself feel good, but for how long? There'll always be an empty void. God created man that way. God created man for man to worship him, but Satan got in the way. Satan messed man up. So there will always be a void in your life if you are not right with God. God knows it and you know it. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool God. Why try to fool anybody? Why not just live a nice, comfortable, righteous life before God? And you don't have to worry about stuff because God will take care of that because he cares for us. See that you love one another, how? With a pure heart, fervently. Being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. This Bible is the seed, and this Bible is incorruptible. God's word is incorruptible. That's what, when you're born again, this becomes your constitution. Before you obey the gospel of Christ, the United States Constitution is your constitution. This overrides that when it comes to God. We are American citizens, right? But do you consider yourself American citizen first and then a Christian? Or do you realize that Christianity far outweighs any kind of citizenship on earth? So you are a Christian first and then an American second, which means if God has said something that America is saying is okay and God says it's not, what are you going to do? See, that's how we learn whether we are really truly children of God or not. Because you're going to find in your next month's lesson, when y'all start talking about the father of lies, he's somebody's father. And what you're going to learn, hopefully, from that lesson is if you've been lying, he was your daddy. Yeah. The way you separate yourself from him is stop lying. That's just a brief snippet of next week. Born of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. A pure heart, church, means that your heart has been refined just as your faith needs to be refined. That's why we preach so hard to get people to take their soul salvation more seriously. Too many are going through the motions. They are not even trying to do better. And I can't say everything is fine when it is not. James leaves us with this, James 1:18. Of his own will, talking about God now, God begat us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See what God has done for us? God is the one that makes us special. God is the one that gives us value and status. We are the ones that tear ourselves down when we are being disobedient to God. It says he did this of his own free will through his word so that we might be the first fruits of his creatures. The word of truth obeyed will produce the kind of first fruits God wants us to be. Yes, we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm done. If you're here tonight, you can see there's a saying out there, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, it won't be a handbasket, I can assure you. Scripture had already foretold that hell had to expand itself. Think about that. Had to expand itself. Why? Because there's going to be more people in there that God never intended. God didn't create hell for man. He created it for Satan. But remember, the Bible tells us that those who obey Satan is going to be with him. And it just seemed like so many of God's creatures are obeying Satan that the Bible says hell has to enlarge herself. If your Bible tells you that and you have faith in the Bible, shouldn't that concern you? In other words, hell is trying to make room for those folk who are obedient, disobedient rather, to God's word. Don't be a part of that. Keep yourself in the love and the mercies of God. Why? Because Satan wants you. Satan just wants you because he knows he's destroyed. He knows he don't stand a chance. So he wants to try to get as many of God's people as he can. Don't be one of God's children that ends up with Satan. It's just not worth it. How do you avoid that? Well, you avoid it, first of all, by getting in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You got to first hear. You got to believe what you hear. You got to repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be God's son, and you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And that's what starts you a new life in Christ with a new constitution, God's word. And God's word is the roadmap that can get you from earth to glory. Don't let man fill you with his philosophies and his feelings and all of that. He hasn't been there. The only person that's been there and can talk to us about it is Christ. And that's all that's found in his word. But yet you still find people will be willing to listen to somebody else, knowing that what they're saying don't line up with what God says, and they expect to be saved. That's called self-deception. Remember when the Bible says don't deceive yourselves? We can do that. Don't do that to yourself. Trust God. If you're here and you are already a child of God, and for whatever reason, you haven't really been doing what you know you should do. Remember, Scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and won't do it, that's sin. Well, sin can't go unpunished, number one. And then Christ also said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. Do you have faith in God's word? Do you have faith in the Lord's church? Because without the church, you can't be saved. Hello? Yeah, I'm going to tell you again. Without the church, you cannot be saved. My Bible tells me that this is where Christ placed salvation, in the church, among us. And he's given us something to do to one another, with one another, as well as to the world, that we might be saved. And if you're not willing to do those things, okay, just face the truth. You can't really expect to be with God. That's Bible teaching. So if you're here and you find yourself out of sync with the Lord and you want to get right, why don't you do it right now while we stand and sing the Savior's invitation song?